is requires that we sell all that we have, that we give up everything that we have a right to, but that's okay. It requires everything of us, but that's totally okay because it's worth more than what we had in the first place. So in preparing and praying for Australia and for the hearts of those that we're going to be interacting with, I think my prayer for them is that they have a lot materially. They have access to a lot, and they may even have a lot socially and in their politics and wealth and any measure of means that you want to measure it by. But my prayer is that for those that have willing hearts, that the gospel would find the hearts of those who are willing to lay it down and to, who are willing to receive what Christ has to offer, even if it costs them everything. And sort of as an opposite story to the one that about the soccer game, I was also thinking about, have you guys seen like the original Captain America movie? Like before Steve Rogers is buff, and he's in, Ian knows that movie. When he's in training camp, there's like that one scene where they like throw a fake bomb into where they're all training, and everyone runs and ducks and like covers and looks for safety, and he runs over instantly and like shields, like wraps his entire body around the bomb or the explosive, and because they don't know that it's fake. That was his knee-jerk reaction. That was his muscle memory, was selflessness and to lay down his life for his team members. And so I guess what the Lord's doing in me is, by letting me process through all this, is to learn new muscle memory. And that's my prayer for the team and my prayer for us and for the church as a whole, is that we would develop muscles of selflessness and to lay ourselves down. So anyways, we're going to do Pass the Peace now. Also, just updates as far as practical things for you guys. We have a couple, like two more fundraisers coming up. There's a garage sale. And if you guys have anything that you want to donate, it's going to be on next weekend. Two weekends from now. Next weekend, June 2nd and 3rd at Kim and Tim's house. And that's really exciting. And there's also going to be a Wahoos fundraiser on June 10th. And so they're donating 20% of the proceeds from that to the mission team, and that's all day on the 10th. So that's a Sunday. We can all go get brunch afterwards. But yeah, love you guys, and I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna pass the peace. Cool. Jesus, thank you for setting the standard. Thank you for your grace, and it cost you very much. And please help us not to be afraid of what it will cost us. We rejoice in your grace, and we say thank you. And yeah, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brad. Yeah, thanks everybody for parenting with Riley and I. Let's start with some... Another, please. It was a long night. Thank you. Woo! Locked and loaded. Amen. Yep. It's God's drug. That's what they say. All right. You know, I'm going to pray as well as Brad. So let me pray for us this morning. Lord, we've already dedicated this to you, this service, this worship. And just right now, again, we dedicate this time to you. We ask that you would invade this space and make your face shine on us and reveal your love to us this morning, Lord. And we say thank you in all these things we do. In your holy name, amen. All right. We are working through Ephesians as a church. And last week, we kind of took the week off. We did a Pentecost Sunday. It was really nice to worship with you guys. I know I was met by the Lord last Sunday. It was really needed. It was great. So back at it this morning. We're in Ephesians 3. Just as a kind of a recap, Danny, our elder, head elder, led us into Ephesians with an intro, kind of saying that Paul is like a coach. And in the beginning of Ephesians, Paul kind of holds up the football and says, this is a football. It's the game. So learn to love it, like it, know it. Let's start from scratch, right? And then the week after that, Marquita, she brought the word, which was, that was one of the most powerful words I've heard in a while. It was about the makeover that the Lord does in his people, like the before and the after. We were sinners, we were dead, hopeless, without God in the world, slaves to sin, and then he makes us alive in Christ, right? Because Jesus took all of that on him, that all died, and then he rose again and said, here you go, you can wear this new man now and be free. So that was amazing. And today, I want to talk about cars. Yeah, Jay. So I'm thinking about, you know, if I want to go on a road trip, what do I need? I need my car to work. I got to go get some gas. I got to check the tires, put some oil in it, make sure the spark plugs are firing, make sure my generator is got the wire hooked up, right? Because if it's not hooked up, it won't fire. So there's these basic elements to a car, right? You need, like I said, you need gas, you need some type of energy, some spark plugs, you need the air intake. Same thing with a fire. Does anyone know what three elements you need for a fire? Tyler.
Oxygen.
Okay. Oxygen.
Spark.
Uh-huh.
Fuel.
Okay. Heat, fuel,
oxygen.
Right. Basic elements. So all the way back to the Big Bang, right? It's funny. Tabitha brought up Darwinism this morning, and I'm talking about the Big Bang. And we were like, okay, what's going on? Who ordained that guy? So if just for argument's sake, right, the Big Bang is this crazy thing happened about 13 billion years ago, they say. And then, boom, out of something smaller than an atom, we've got energy, we've got hydrogen, we've got gravity, and there's these basic elements to the universe, right? That's like the start of what is going, you know, that's the basic start. And what do you think, Wes? Does that line up with your chemistry classes? What? Hydrogen, right? Basic element for all things. Is that, that's right.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a proton. Yeah. Yeah, so the basic, one of the most basic elements in the universe would be hydrogen. It is. It is. Did you guys? Yeah, that's incredible. It's one, wow, one proton. All right. Believe it or not, Ephesians, that ties in with Ephesians. Yeah. All right? All right. What?
Make the connection yourself.
Make the connection yourself, right. Thank you, bro. That's so good. No. All right. Yeah. That's kind of my job, but you could do it. So basically everything starts somewhere, except for God. God's just, he's been here. But everything else starts somewhere. And last night I was dreaming kind of half awake, but I'm thinking about elevators and the way that that's what I'm working on, right? And I like, can't stop dreaming about throwing in the rails that start the whole process. That's the very first thing we do. We get the blueprints, we lay it out, make sure it's going to fit into the big shaft of the building, and then we just throw in the rails, and they're long. They're like
16 feet long, and they range in weight, but it's basically just forged steel. And right now we're throwing in some rails that are 18 pounds per foot, and they're 13 feet and 16 feet long. So do the math. They're like 300 pounds. Yeah, well, I do. I drag them in by myself. And I come home with blisters. And so, I could not sleep. I'm literally dreaming about different people in my life throwing in rails to an elevator. Like, over and over, I'm like, oh, gosh, I can't sleep. This is horrible. But that's basically the start of the elevator. And that connection works well with me when I look at the text, but for you guys, not so much, right? So I thought about where's the start of everything? So that was kind of the big bang. Well, I believe in Ephesians, Paul talks about the start of the church. And he says it goes back all the way to the beginning of time. God had this plan, right? And it's this mystery to bring all people to him. And it's all based on these basic elements, right? Like we said, hydrogen, it's God's love. It's God's grace. It's his kindness. That is like the base of church. That's the basis of who we are as believers. It's like, what do we break down to? And with God, it's our salvation. You know, it's the gospel. That's the basic thing. It's the gospel. And so I feel like in Ephesians, Paul lays it out really well. Like, you know, this is a football. And he says, this is Christianity. This is the church. This is the basic elements going on. The knowledge of him, the grace, the praise of his glory, these are all basic elements, and we're going to look at those. All right. So let's start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to do a little bit of skipping around. My Bible is a RSV, Revised Standard Version. If you guys have that in your phone, you can go to it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. Okay, now go into chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive when you were you were made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You hear these elements like faith, grace, love, mercy. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now I'm skipping down to verse 13 of chapter 2. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in the flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles inheriting the same promises now. Go to verse 14, chapter 2. For he is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, chapter 3 starts off, Paul sort of introduces himself, like, I'm Apostle Paul, I've seen this revelation, and you guys can go into the book of Acts for that. It's a book that Paul's like the hero of that book. So the audience would know a little bit about him. I'm going to continue at verse 1. Sorry. Chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose which he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. And Pastor Brad touched on that too, that Paul was being persecuted for preaching to the Gentiles and making a church out of those guys when the Jews were like, no, we're the church. So that's what was going on there. Verse 14. This is really what I want to look at this morning, verse 14. For this reason, I bow, verse 14 through the end. Sorry. I'm not sorry. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Lord, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You You guys are great followers. That's awesome. You guys were so quiet, and thanks for following me. That was awesome. Praise God. It is by grace you have been saved. And what I see happening here is, like, if you go back to the creation, right? The Lord, the Holy Spirit, and Proverbs would say wisdom was there, Jesus was there. They're like, I got this great idea. Let's make light. And the Holy Spirit's like, rad, boom, light, you know? And then they're like, I got this great idea. Let's save the Israelites. Like, let's make a people. And wisdom's there. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. Boom. And then they're like, we got to save everyone. Like, let's get Jesus to forgive everyone's sins and bring all people to himself and make a church of everyone, Jews, Gentiles alike. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are like, yeah, let's do it. Rad. Boom. And Paul's saying, like, this is God's plan. This was all just out of his love. I have a few more verses. Romans 5. So the church starts with God's love and grace and mercy and kindness. Romans 5. Verses 6 through 11. I'll beat you to the next one. Romans 5, 6 through 11. Does anybody want to stand up and read that for us? That'd be awesome. Who's on it?
6 through 11?
Yes, ma'am.
You see, at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now
Amen. The next one is Psalms 103, 6 through 14. But this is the heartbeat of the church, you guys. That's what I'm getting at. This is our starting point. This is our end goal. This is our heartbeat, that we are redeemed, that this is God's love and his plan. I love that word, that Hebrew word that Marquita taught us, chesed. Chesed, and that's a beautiful word. It's God's grace, his loving kindness, his mercy, all kind of in one active, would you say it's an active word? It's awesome. That's our starting point. So Psalm 103, 6 through 14. Is anybody there? Someone want to get up and read it for me? Robin? 6 through 14.
The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward
It's a 16.
Okay. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower is of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more.
That's good. Thank you. So I want this to be that we're soaking in this as a church. And I believe that's Paul's wish for us too, to soak in this. And it might feel a little bit like, I hate to say this, but sometimes it feels like the words don't quite get in, right? And I want to say that that's because we're in a sinful world. We don't know love. Like, I can't come up here and just make you guys encounter this love story. You guys have to encounter it for yourselves. Like, these words are in the word, but it's like, we got to soak in this. We got to, like, I know I start my day with some coffee, some breakfast, a kiss from my wife. You guys got to, we got to start our day with, I'm forgiven. I know the gospel. Jesus is my Savior. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And I didn't do anything to deserve it. All I said was, like, I believe you. Or, yes, Lord, I need you. And we got to soak in this. It's got to get in there. And that can't just happen in one Sunday. The next one is Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. And this one I want you guys to hear as a church, as a company of, as a royal priesthood, as not just individuals, but hear this as, this is to us as the church. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. Yeah.
But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. But when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk,
you can go to the end of verse 7.
Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made.
Thank you. So, church, the Lord has made us. He has made the church. We haven't made this. We set it up, but He has made us. I want to say that maybe we get distracted from this truth, from just the basics, that we're saved, that God loves us. And I want to say maybe it's sin, maybe it's lies, maybe it's this world around us that we get distracted by or discouraged by. But brothers and sisters, God's love is more powerful than your sin. God's truth is more real than those lies. Jesus has conquered the world around us. And as a church, I feel the Lord saying, let's start here. Let's start with this. Let's start with God's love for us. Just basic, God loves you. God loves us. God loves me. The church is built on God's love, forgiveness, grace, peace, and wisdom. The gospel of Jesus Christ is our hydrogen. So I feel that the Lord is kind of looking at us like a car, and he says, okay, you guys are going to go somewhere, be something, go on a road trip, but first let's make sure you've got the gas, you know my salvation, you know my love, you got air in the tires, you know my grace, you know my forgiveness. And if we have those things, he's like, let's go. So next week we'll look at a little bit of what that looks like, where we're going. So please pray with me. Lord, just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for making issues not the issue. Giving us Jesus' righteousness because you love us. Thank you that we get to stand on your love. Help us to just start there every day. Start with your love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.